Hello, I'm Michael Heyman, and you're listening to Changemakers. Since 2009, the Amos Bursary has been helping Britain's talented young people of African and Caribbean heritage who attend state schools from challenging environments. The goal has been this: to help them fulfil their academic potential, attend top universities, secure good professional jobs, and give back to society. Its inspiration is the renowned humanitarian and educationalist Baroness Valerie Amos and her sister Colleen Amos, who has recently been awarded an OBE for her inspiring work as the charity's CEO. This is the story of two pioneering sisters putting their minds, talents, and time to work to make a difference for a new generation. Colleen, Valerie, welcome to Changemakers. Absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Do let me start with a quote from your father, who I know is a great inspiration to your work, that education is not a guarantee of wealth, but it is against abject poverty. Colleen, do pick up the story there in terms of that quote and why it means so much to you.
Yeah, that quote was really important for us as a family. Education was always at the heart of everything that we did. And my father was a teacher. My mother was a teacher. She didn't teach in the UK, but she was a trained teacher. I'm a teacher. My son's a teacher. My sister works in education. We've made that switch to the dark side. And so you can see why we believe that education is the linchpin for progress and social mobility.
I mean, it sounds like you grew up in an amazing family environment, Valerie, in terms of, you know, I was reading that the family motto of family first, that there were parents with a really strong sense of what they wanted for you and your brother, that actually there was a real ethos there. What did you make of it, Valerie, growing up in that environment?
It was very much an ethos of excellence, that you can achieve whatever you want to achieve if you put your mind to it. And I think we thrived in that environment. It wasn't always easy. I mean, I remember once coming home very, very proud that I'd got 98% in some test or other, and my father saying, well, if you can get 98, you can get 100, you know, that kind of thing. But it was excellence in a very supportive environment. I mean, I think Colleen and I would both say that our parents are very much the people who were there through our childhood, helped us in that move from Guyana to Britain. I mean, as a child, it's exciting to move, but it's not easy. They were very much our role models, and they were there for not just for us, but for our friends as well. It was a very open family, discussions, debate, lots of food around, lots of laughter, dancing. But also this real commitment to education and to excellence.
They supported us in so many ways with that. And I remember days when I needed a lot of support of my parents. My mother particularly would sit with me and help me to revise for exams. And, you know, just knowing that you had that person there behind you, or who would fight battles for you when you were at school, that was just so important. Or my father, who gave me the right direction when I was 18 and wanted to go to teacher training college. And, you know, he was inspirational and directed me to go to university. And I've never looked back. I think having that guidance and support was fundamental for us.
I mean, very sadly, your mum and dad died a very short period of time apart. And in many ways, the Amos Bursary was something to honour that legacy. It sounds from reading it like it was also something to honour their character, was it, in terms of the ideals and in terms of, you know, many of the, I guess, the sort of the values that you were seeking to help others find and benefit from?
Very much so. I mean, they believed in us, and they believed that if we really wanted something and worked hard enough, that it was possible. And we wanted those values, those principles, that sense of being a family. The Amos Bursary very much is a family. It's grown tremendously. We've supported a lot of young men, but it's also been a family in the sense of a large number of volunteers, of mentors, people who give their time and work for free because they believe in what we're doing and they believe in the young people that we're working with. So that sense of community, of family, of looking out for each other, of being there for each other is very, very important in the bursary.
And in terms of just thinking about legacy and about your own backstory, both born in Guyana, both coming to the UK as part of the Windrush generation, in terms of, I guess, that kind of experience, that kind of start in life, in terms of what you have taken out of it for today, in terms of the kind of work that you are doing. You've mentioned with young men, but this year it'll be with young women also. Colleen, give us a sense of that heritage in terms of what came next and what you've taken out of it.
So our parents were part of the Windrush generation, and they came to the UK because they wanted to give us not just a better life, because we had a fantastic life in Guyana, but it was more around education for our family. The Amos Bursary is rooted in the values that the Windrush generation brought to the United Kingdom, that passion for education, that determination to do better for the next generation, the feeling of pride of where you came from and who you are. And the whole thing about family was just so important for that generation. And you know, I think that for us as the Amos Bursary, that those were the things were at the roots. My parents used to mentor so many young people. They didn't call it mentoring at that time, but that was what they were doing. And the volunteers that we have in the bursary at the moment, they are all people who were with us right from the beginning, who knew my parents, who have share the same vision and the same values as us. And I think that that's one of the things that makes the bursary so strong. That cadre of people who started with us in 2009 and who are still with us in 2020.
I mean, Valerie, they often talk about, you know, are ambitious people born or are they made? Is it the experience or is there something that just luckily comes up in your DNA? I mean, you know, the two of you are such a phenomenal powerhouse of achievement. I mean, you know, we could just reel off the first that you've both, you know, sort of reeled off in public and private life, in education, in politics, in government, in international relations. So was it family? Was it being sisters? Do you think it was that the mix that helped create that kind of ambition culture in your life?
So, Michael, I think it was all of those things and more. So I think that there is an experience of being a migrant, coming to a country that's really strange for you, but coming to a country as part of a family and our parents really looking out for us, a strong belief and understanding of where we came from, and really helping us to overcome stereotyping. There was a lot of stereotyping when we were growing up, you know, lots of misinformation about where we had come from, who we were about, and our parents really fighting for us, but also giving us the tools to fight for ourselves. Colleen and I have been very, very close. We've always been close. I call her my closest friend, as well as Colleen being my sister. There are lots of things that we disagree about and argue about, but there's no one that can come between the two of us. And we have had some extraordinary experiences as sisters. And I think that Colleen will say, my being the eldest, she benefited from some of that because she was allowed to come out to parties, for example, at a much earlier age than I was allowed to. She was able to come with me. And of course, that strong sense of family was also there.
I'm sure, Colleen, that listeners will want to know what flaps the unflappable Baroness Amos, sort of like revered diplomat, sort of, I mean, I have to ask that, you know,
what flaps? Do you know, my sister doesn't flap, because the one thing that I've learned about my sister is that she has very strong beliefs. She's very focused. And for me, you know, having that, it was like a safety net. We were in UK It was the only two of us. We were first of all in primary school together, and then we were the only two black girls in a secondary school together, and she was my safety net. My sister taught me so much. You know, I think I would have been the rebel in the family if I didn't have my sister there as my rock, and she kept me on track, but she also showed me how to have a good time. And I can assure you that, you know, nobody can beat my sister on the dance floor, you know. We both love music. We both love reading. And those are the things that really kept us, you know, together and strong.
Yeah, I have to say, Colleen, I did see your lockdown list that accompanies this episode, and there's a lot of good dance music in there.
What she's not telling you, Michael, is that when we were four, she kept calling me goody, goody, Michael. She was rude to me when we were growing up. Don't prove everything that she said.
Oh, she really, but I, you know what? I really loved it, because if she wasn't a goody, goody, then we'd have trouble when we got home. And so she always found a way to get me out of trouble.
Right. Well, let's go back, though. So you both mentioned growing up young. You mentioned the stereotyping. And of course, I suppose this then comes on to your work today with the Amos Bursary, where you talk about changing the narrative. And I thought that phrase about the narrative was really important. Tell us a bit about that narrative as you experienced it. And then let's bring it up to date in terms of what you're doing today in terms of addressing it. So maybe, Valerie, if you talk about the backdrop, and then Colleen, maybe about the work of the bursary per se. But Valerie, what was your experience of it growing up?
So we grew up just into Kent. I was the first black girl at the grammar school I went to. Colleen was the second. There were very few black people around. People would look at us and you could see that they had never actually seen a black person before. When we first arrived in the UK and we went to primary school, we were automatically put in the bottom class. We weren't tested. Nobody took any notice of who we were, tried to get a sense of what we knew before determining what should happen to us. And the reason that that changed is because, you know, the very next day, my mother went straight to the school when she found out that we had learned nothing all day, that in fact we had done nothing all day, to actually challenge what had gone on and to ask them to test her children and to see where we should be put. And I think growing up, one of the things that really stood out for me was a feeling that as black people, as we became more integrated to British society, that the stereotyping, the discrimination, the narrative and the way that we were talked about, that would change. As people really understood who we were and are as people and the contributions that we could make to society. Now, I'm not saying that nothing has changed. Of course, a lot of change has changed. But that stubborn discrimination, you know, the racism that continues to frame our society, I'm still shocked by it today. And of course, we saw what happened with Black Lives Matter. So for us, you know, growing up, being successful, making our way through society, but still seeing that it was a minority that was almost as it was allowed to achieve, as opposed to what was happening to the majority, and particularly the way that our young men were represented in education, were represented in the criminal justice system, the stereotypes that abounded about them, all of this backdrop helped us in terms of our thinking about the legacy we wanted as a result of our parents coming over to the UK, what they wanted for us and what they wanted for the black community more generally. And this is a passion for me, it's a passion for Colleen.
Yes, so I want to talk about that work in terms of the work of the Amos Bursary. I mean the phrase there that really stood out, stubborn discrimination, Colleen, in terms of, I guess, the backdrop. Give us a sense of your work with the bursary in terms of the work that you actually do to address some of this, but also, I guess, the role modelling and the stories that, that change perception and move things on.
Okay, so the Amos Bursary does four things. The first thing is that we encourage our students to build on the fact that they're all academically excellent or that they are talented young men who come from challenging environments, but that is not their focus. Their focus is their talent and how they're going to build on that talent to ultimately enter the career of their dreams. The second thing is about the motivation. You know, if you wake up every morning and you know that every morning at the back of your mind, you're thinking about not your safety, but how you are going to have to make others feel safe around you as a young black man, that is a weight to carry with you every day. So a big part that we have to play is to give them the motivation and the mindset to realize their greatness. And we use psychometric tools to do that and a lot of work with mentors and mentees to give them that confidence that they require. Is about opportunities and experiences. And our young men, because of the environments that they come from, do not have access to those kind of experiences. We make sure that they are able to have international experiences, attend conferences, anything that will build their confidence, build their profile, and ensure that employers see them as employers of choice. And the last thing is about support. So we provide them with mentors. We have a very robust development program. We have a careers advisory service. All of these things pull together to make sure that at the end of the day, those young men, when they come through and they've been with us for 5 years, they can change the narrative. They become the role models for the future. They become the future leaders for the community. They are the young men who are the pipeline that all of these organizations for years have been saying do not exist. And also the education institutions. When I talk about the education institutions, I'm talking about the Russell Group and the top universities. So the Amos Bursary is about empowering the young men to become the best that they can be.
Right. And when they arrive, do you find that you've got positive optimists who are just looking to be unleashed? Or are there broader challenges that you've got about self-belief and about an optimism for the future because of the sustained stereotyping, the sustained discrimination, that stubborn discrimination that you found? How do you find those kind of bursary students in terms of mindset and where they arrive on the program?
You know, our students cover the full spectrum. So we will have students on the program who have been expelled from school 25 times. But because they themselves believe in themselves, they will apply to the bursary. We have young men on the program who have had to hold back who they are to become successful because of the school environment that they are in. So I would say that there is not one type of young man that comes to the bursary. What we do is that we have a look at all of the challenges that they faced. We look at their academic ability. We look at their potential, and all of that helps us to select the young men who get onto the program.
Valerie, you as a leader have been phenomenal, extraordinary in your career. First black woman to serve as a cabinet minister, head of a university or head of an Oxford college. So many firsts that you've achieved. Yet in an earlier answer, you did refer to the fact of, you know, things may have changed, but that doesn't necessarily mean that things have got better. When you look at the world in 2021, how hopeful and positive do you feel about it in terms of the ability of things like your own bursary to really make the difference at that societal level?
I feel very positive. And the reason that I feel positive is because I'm around young people all the time. And whilst I think this is an extraordinarily challenging time for them, we know how difficult 2020 has been. We've got the start of 2021, which for many of them is no easier than 2020. We've seen the uphill battle some of them have had to fight to come through education, to move on to university, the constraints that they have had to live under. And yet, they are passionate about the world they live in. They really care. They want to live in a better world. They're prepared to do the work to get them there. We saw last year, you know, those major movements, Black Lives Matter, the environmental movement, our young people really saying to us, what kind of world have you created and what kind of world are you leaving for us to manage, to lead? So that's why I'm optimistic, because I see the commitment, I see the talent, but I also worry because I think there are huge pressures that our young people are under, and we have to be very, very careful to make sure that we give them the right kind of support to bring them through these extraordinary times that they're living in. You know, look at what's happening to our economy. The employment opportunities will be pushed right back in terms of those young people, just as one example.
I mean, Colleen, I had a young activist that I interviewed in an earlier show, Cephas Williams. He runs an initiative called 56 Black Men, and it was at the heart of the summer. It was right in the middle of the Black Lives Matter marches, and he said, "The thing is, we've been here before. We get to the point where we think change is happening. We think that we've got the attention, we've got the momentum, and then something recedes, and the change doesn't really ever happen in the way we believe it might do." Do you identify with that? We're now in the sort of first sort of quarter of the winter of 2021. Is enough changing on the back of a major moment like that to give you real encouragement?
I think that as an organization, we do have a reason to hope. We saw, as a result of the death of George Floyd, the Amy Cooper incident, and also Black Lives Matter, that people really do want to make a difference. Organisations do want to make a difference. And so, for us, what we will always say as an organisation is we have hope. And that's a quote that's taken from one of our young men when he was speaking to a group of our scholars, and they were very concerned with everything that was going on. And his ending statement was, you know, we have hope. So we our mindset is always about being optimistic and about being positive.
And we are going to speak with one of those success stories, Richard Butler, who is the interview that will accompany this episode. 10 years of stories very much like Richard's. When you look to what you hope happens next, when I'm thinking about the sort of the future as a sort of a final thought, Valerie, in terms of where things are going.
Yeah, well, we started off with 7 young men in 2009. And today we have over 200 young men on the programme. This year, we're going to be introducing young women. So for us, that's going to be a real step forward. We know that it's going to be a very difficult time, but our role will be to ensure that our young people make the most of all of the learning opportunities that will be available to them, make the most of all of the corporates who are now working with us, and that's over 20 who have now signed up to support the Amos Bursary, and to make sure that we continue to provide that pipeline. We will not stop. We know our young people to date have been underestimated. They've been underrepresented. And we will change that trajectory.
But the hardest thing, Michael, from my perspective, is sustaining the change. You know, the comment that that young man made to you, which is that you get to a particular point and you don't go any further forward. And I have seen that throughout my career. It is so hard to move forward and so easy to slide back. And I think the thing that our young people have learned and that we did not pay enough attention to is how easy it is to slide back, how hard you have to work to sustain the change, to maintain the momentum and to move forward. I am so proud of the work that Colleen is doing with the Amos Bursary, because every single one of the young people who has come through the bursary is staying on with us as an alumni. They are making sure that the lessons that they have learned, they are passing on to future generations. They are there to support each other. We have a student last year who was having a challenging time at university. Another former student got on a train, went to his university, stayed with him for the weekend to give him support. That is what those young people are doing for each other. And they recognize that they have to do that. They have to really push through all the barriers that are put in their way. So, and I'm confident that they're going to do it, because they have learned from the mistakes that we made. They understand how you bring about change in society. They know it's hard. They're determined, and they're going to do it.
I'm just sat here thinking, I mean, you are both extraordinary human beings, if I may say. And I'm wondering if your mum and dad were here now to see where you've taken this idea to, and you know, the two of you as just such driven, go-getting people that have achieved so much with your lives. What do you think they'd say if they were listening to this show? A final thought, perhaps, from both of you, Colleen, then Valerie.
Well, I think that my father would be sitting upstairs in his rocking chair, looking out of the window, rocking back and forth, and he would be smiling, not saying a word, but just smiling to himself. And I think my mother would be talking to her friends on the phone and trying not to be the too proud mum, but sharing all of the things that we're doing as an organisation. I can see them both doing that.
Valerie, I'm presuming you've got a view about, I'm thinking about that exam point, about 98%, you need to still get 100. What would you take out of it?
I think that they would be immensely proud. I completely agree with Colleen. They'd be immensely proud, but they'd also say that they expected no less.
Absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much there to my guests, Baroness Valerie and Colleen Amos, advocates, activists, sisters and change makers. And I'm absolutely sure that their parents would have been very proud and have expected no less, because this has been the story of the mission to make a difference to the lives of young people of African and Caribbean heritage, that by securing great jobs and instilling an ethos of giving back, we really do pay it forward. And in doing so, we can change that narrative. I think that means finding more ways to deliver opportunity and more effort to help realise the incredible potential of the next generation. And thanks very much to those dynamic sisters. And we'll see you next time for The Changemakers.